You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. As the countdown to kickoff is on, a little more than 24 hours from now, the National Football League regular season will kick off, although it will be slightly anticlimactic because there will be no other NFL games going on. That is until Sunday, and then there's no turning back. Doubleheader on Monday night. Countdown to kickoff. No better place to be than the Fantasy Sports Network. We've got you covered. We got an hour show. It's all football. I'm going to spend about 47 seconds talking about baseball at the end of the show when I give you some baseball winners. But other than that, it's football, college football. Mark Lawrence will join me. Playbook.com. Mark Lawrence will get some week two college picks. We'll talk week one NFL football with Mark Lawrence. Michael Leone, daily roto expert and roto expert extraordinaire. Michael Leone. You know, he's a smart guy because he's a Buffalo Bill fan. Well, actually, you know what? If I was like an expert in anything, I wouldn't tell people I was a Bills fan. And maybe I shouldn't tell people. Like, people would just say, what the hell does this guy know? He follows the Bills. And what kind of expert can this guy be? But, the Bills, they'll surprise you. All right, we're going to break it down. We're going to talk DFS football with Michael Leone, the raging redhead, Cam Stewart. Cam Stewart, he's fired up for the start of the National Football League season. He's so fired up, he's getting on a plane right after the show, and he's going to Las Vegas, Nevada to enter the Super Contest. So suddenly, Cam, my friend, is a competitor. He's a rival. Like, I don't even know if I can share my thoughts with this guy now. We're playing for $1 million. But it's okay. It's okay. It's a long season. And I look forward to getting the Raging Redhead's thoughts on the NFL. And I was just in Vegas this past weekend, and I'm going to show you some home movies. Not home movies, but we've got some pictures, some interesting pictures of our trip to Las Vegas, Nevada this past weekend as Cam's getting ready to go there. All right, so the countdown is on, and we've spent most of the summer talking about ADPs and draft position. What round should we take Cam Newton in? What do you do with Tom Brady? What about Josh Gordon? And then, you know, truth be told, we've been looking at the week one point spreads, that it's here. People are asking me, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? I'm like, and before I tell them, I'll get to that. Well, I guess getting to that has arrived right now. Now, if you look at the Las Vegas odds makers, we have the usual suspects at the top of the board. You've got your Seattles. You've got your Carolinas. You've got your New Englands of the world. And then, you know, there's somewhat of a little bit of a drop off after that. The Pittsburghs, the Green Bays, the Denver Broncos. And let's start off with the defending Super Bowl champion, Denver Broncos. 18-1. To repeat as Super Bowl champions. Now, teams generally don't repeat as Super Bowl champions. We have to go back to, like, what was it, 2004-05 with the New England Patriots. So you almost want to scratch them off the list right now. Although, truth be told, the Denver Broncos might be better this year than they were last year. Their defense is a premier elite defense that is the best defense in football. And if it won't be the best defense in football, it'll be right there. I believe they're going to have a renewed enthusiasm for the ground game with Trevor Siemian as their quarterback. I think that C.J. Anderson's going to have a massive year. I think they're going to go old school Denver Bronco football and smash it down your throat with C.J. Anderson and then a running back with the Utes that's a rookie, Devontae Booker, that I think is going to be real good. I think the Denver Broncos are going to be a real good football team. They're going to be a playoff football team. But are they going to repeat as Super Bowl champions? I don't think so. Now, the Seattle Seahawks are actually favored to win the Super Bowl at 7-1. And I wouldn't try to talk anybody out of betting that right now. The Seattle Seahawks have all the pieces and the right recipe for success. They're somewhat embarrassed with the performance last year. Now driven by Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch, no longer a distraction. Their offensive line has issues, but ultimately the Seattle Seahawks are a force to be reckoned with. The Carolina Panthers are right there at 8-1. And I lost a lot of freaking money, man, all right? I lost a lot of money on the Carolina Panthers losing the Super Bowl to the Denver Broncos. I think the Carolina Panthers could get back to the Super Bowl. They could, but they probably won't. And the fact is, we haven't seen a team lose the Super Bowl and get back to the Super Bowl since the Buffalo Bills. And that didn't work out very well for the Buffalo Bills. Four straight losses. I think the Carolina Panthers are going to be right there, But in the end, I don't think the Panthers are the ones going to be playing in the Super Bowl. How about the New England Patriots in the AFC? 8-1 to win the Super Bowl. Tom Brady's out for the first four games. I don't think it's going to matter that much. They play in a future division. Now, listen, the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins are all average to somewhat decent football teams, but it's still the Patriots' division. But ultimately, the Patriots do have holes. And ultimately, I don't think the Patriots are going to be the ones that end up in the Super Bowl, although they're going to be right there. Patriots probably in the AFC Championship game. And with Tom Brady's suspension, it's actually a blessing in disguise. The Patriots are like Donald Trump. You know, they never get tired of winning, so to speak. You know, they've stayed motivated over such a long period of time right now. And it's hard to stay focused. But Tom Brady hates the world, man. The guy's ripping decals off. Yeah, Bill Belichick, the evil, diabolical genius, putting together a game plan. Garoppolo's going to be just fine. The Patriots are going to be right there in the end. But ultimately, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are the team to beat in the AFC. The Pittsburgh Steelers, an explosive offense. Pittsburgh Steelers are like an Arena Football League team. If they can just stop you once or twice, they will beat you. If the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't get struck down by lightning and injured days before every playoff game every year, they probably would have racked up another couple of Super Bowls. And I say the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to the Super Bowl despite the fact that I don't think Mike Tomlin's a very good coach. I think players like him, but he does a lot of dumb things. But I think their offense is just so much better than everybody else. And when ultimately the Pittsburgh Steelers make it to the Super Bowl, it's going to be a Super Bowl rematch of Super Bowl 40, which was the worst ref Super Bowl in history. It was so bad. The Seattle Seahawks got screwed by the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers won the Super Bowl. It was so bad that referee Bill Levy says that he's going to take it to his grave, knowing that he impacted the Super Bowl. He all but admitted it. He said, I made two calls that impacted the outcome of the game, and I'll take it to my grave. At least he regrets it, unlike that jackass Ed Hockley who just goes to the gym and stares at his guns in the mirror. At least Levy's stepping up and admitting that he screwed up. It's not going to get the Super Bowl back, Super Bowl 40 back, but it will be a little bit of revenge, and it'll taste pretty sweet, Super Bowl 51. Remember, before Jeremy Stevens was restraining Hope Solo from beating up her 17-year-old niece, he was making big plays in the Super Bowl that were getting called back. And then there was a pick six. And then it all hell broke loose. And people in Seattle haven't forgotten this. It'd be like if the Buffalo Bills finally beat the Dallas Cowboys in the damn Super Bowl. But I'll tell you what, the Buffalo Bills and the Dallas Cowboys won't be in the Super Bowl this year. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Seattle Seahawks will. And your Super Bowl 51 champions are the Seattle Seahawks. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, we better get some mops in here or something. Do we have any of those DraftKings towels left that we used to have around the studio? I don't know what it is, man, but I've been sweating, man, like Esteban Loaiza after a two-night bender. Recently, and we've got the raging redhead Cam Stewart coming in studio in a couple of minutes, and man, he's sweating hard, and he's going to Vegas in a couple of hours. I was just in Vegas, man. It was 120 degrees. I'm not even exaggerating, man. It was as hot, and I've lived there before. It was as hot as it's ever freaking been. It was like that hot, and you know what? Mark Lawrence was just in Vegas as well, but he lives in Florida, so he's used to the heat. What's going on, Mark?
Well, I'm used to the heat, as you say, Gabe, and I was in Vegas. Vegas was a little bit more of an oven than it is down here in Florida, though. I can relate to what you're saying.
Man, it's damn hot out there this time of the year, isn't it?
Oh, it's an oven. It's an absolute oven out there.
No, I know. You get off the, it's like, poof, you get punched. Like, when I got to the airport, Mark, I thought, no, it's not. I even lived there for years. But I was like, no, can't be this hot. It must be because we're at the airport and there's buses around. And then I realized, no, it really is this damn hot. And yeah, you know, I walked to a sports book. I actually walked to the Westgate from the SLS. I was sweating like Big Poppy, you know, on the 4th of July, man. Like, it was brutal. I mean, and then I'm all cold in the casino because there's air conditioning. You know, like, it's vicious going in and out of the casinos. But our boy Cam Stewart's going down to enter the contest tonight. You know, he thinks he saw you and me win money last year. He thinks anyone can do it. Now he's going to enter tonight.
Well, that's good. I'm glad he's got the fever. There's no question about that. Especially nice. And one other thing, when you're in Vegas next time, instead of taking that walk, grab an Uber.
Yeah. Uber now in Vegas, as Lyft is as well. Mark Lawrence, old school gambler, but new school technology user. Playbook.com's Mark Lawrence, and you got to get the newsletter if you want to win this year, guys. A wealth of information. All right, Mark, let's get into some games here. Wild week one of college football. I don't want to live in the past too much, but people can overreact to what they saw in week one, both professionally and collegiately, and it could be a case this week. But this week, there's almost like an overreaction to the point spreads, in which all the teams that were supposed to win and lost are now huge favorites. And then a couple of teams put up huge points are huge favorites right now. You know, Louisville laying 14.5 at Syracuse after hanging that 70 spot. You've been around a long time, Mark. So 1 week does not make a season, especially collegiately.
You know, it's the same axiom, Gabe, that we always talk about each year. I call it the ABO theory. Always beware of the obvious. Things that what you just saw the last time are so obvious that they almost can't happen again. It's called regression to the mean. And when you see these teams open up as impressively as they did, some of those teams in big fashion, they'll take a step backwards rather than moving forward. And conversely, if a team played as poorly and ugly as they did in the first week, they'll kind of tend to bounce back in week number two.
All right, so let's jump in quickly here because I want to get to as many games as possible and pick your brain with the pros, but we'll focus mostly on college. It's earlier in the week right now. Louisville, very, very impressive. I was pretty bold. I took a shot with the 39 with the 49ers. And, you know, I guess I needed 69, Mark, not 39, right, to cover this number. But I did get a piece of the over. You know, Louisville, listen, Petrino's a jerk, so he's going to run the score up if he can. You know, they're laying a lot on the road here. And meanwhile, the Dino Babers era began with a 33-7 win over Colgate. How do you grade this game?
Well, to me, I think it's a reaction to what Louisville did last week. Syracuse took out Colgate. Most people don't look at that as being impressive, but the fact of the matter is new head coach Dino Babers really moves the football. He did it at Bowling Green. He's going to do it here at Syracuse. Louisville played a really, really strong game last week. They had 16 players were on the receiving end of passes from Lamar Jackson last week. He kind of spread the ball around, but this is still a hungry Syracuse football team and a head coach in Dino Babers that will not put his foot off the pedal here. I got to grab the points. I think the points look awfully attractive to me.
Mark, we got Rice and Army, and I can't believe we're talking about Rice and Army, but I couldn't believe we were talking about Temple and Army last week, but we did because of the Army Black Knights and their horrific putrid run on the road, 0-20, 1-19 in the previous 20 road games, and it looked like Temple was going to take control of the football game, but Army came to life in the fourth quarter and showed some real military grit that normally we see from the navies, we've seen from the Army, from the Air Forces of the world. You know, Calhoun's teams, they ain't ever quitting. Navy, they ain't ever quitting. Army, not really quitting, but we haven't seen them with that resiliency in the past that they showed in this game. Monster win for that program. I mean, Army beating Eastern Michigan on the road would be a big deal, Mark, let alone beating Temple and Philadelphia.
Big, big win for Army last week. We'll see whether or not grit turns into gritty this week because this team has not had a penchant for winning back-to-back football games. You got to go back to 2010. They're 0-18 straight up and 4-14 to the spread in games off a win. I don't know if they got back-to-back wins in them, let alone having to get over this number here. I think Rice looks attractive in this game as well.
Yeah, this has letdown written all over it. Rice got pasted against Western Kentucky last week, but this is a little easier setting for them, isn't it?
Yeah, you could say Rice got cooked last week is what happened to them. Exactly.
Yeah, they got steamed. you know, did you see Western Kentucky? I don't know if you caught this, Mark, but Western Kentucky, you know, they had the big intro and the smoke and the players ran out, but they fell. It was like a big, like, car crash. Like, all the Western Kentucky players, like, tumbled. It was great, man. It was so funny. You know, not a good omen to start the season, but they won 43-16 or 46-16 anyways, right? Whatever the hell it was. All right, here's an interesting game, Mark. And here's a team that I consider them like a relative. They're like a good friend of mine. I'm a Michigan Wolverine guy, but Central Michigan, they're my cousins. You know what I'm saying? And as a gambling man, Central Michigan have been very close to my heart. I've had as much success with this team, with this program. They fly under the radar. Nobody nationally knows about them. They just think, they're another one of these piece of crap teams. But they've got some talent. They're a well-coached team. And you talk about teams that don't give up, man. The Chippewas don't quit, man. Chip, don't quit, Mark. I tell you, you know this over the years. These guys are monsters. They're ATS, ATM machines. But is this a tough spot getting 21 and a half here in Stillwater?
Well, as you know from the Playbook Football Preview Guide magazine, I love John Bonamago, the head coach here. He's a cancer survivor. He's a fighter, and his team takes on that same mantra every football game they play. I don't want to play against him, but this is a week I'm going to let him go and watch him play, and only because of the database. And I say that the database because I put it in there. I looked at these teams that score 60 or more points in one game, at game one. Will they do it if they're at home in game two? How about their 14-2 to the spread in game two coming back? That's the role for Oklahoma State this week. I'm not going to jump in front of 14-2, but I'm not going to lay it either because of my respect for John Bonamago and Central Michigan.
I think the over's worth a look at 61 right now, Mark. There's going to be some points put on the board in this game.
I think there could be some points put on the board. Both sides here. This is a football game that, I think defense is going to end up a thing of the past, if you will, because both teams like to light it up here. Oklahoma State showed they can, and we know Central Michigan is one of the best teams in the MAC Conference this year.
All right, Western Kentucky and Alabama. All right, we're throwing you guys some red meat here with a big-time program. Western Kentucky and Alabama, we mentioned a big win for the Hilltoppers last week against Rice. Meanwhile, you got Alabama here. Alabama absolutely smashes USC. And I got to tell you, Mark, a little frustrating, man, because I convinced myself I like Bama all year long, and then suddenly all these dogs are covered. And I was like, man, I'm going to grab a little piece of USC here. And after the first quarter, I thought I was pretty smart. And I, even midway through the second, I was like, man, they're really hanging with them. It's going to be a close game. Bama pulls away. All right, Saban, they put up the big number. Everybody's drooling about Alabama right now. But you know this, so I didn't see the newsletter, Mark. I didn't get it this morning, so I didn't see it. But I don't know, man. I'm sure the database is going to tell us that Saban doesn't cover in these spots. He doesn't care. He'd rather pump a big program like USC and run the score up than he would run the score up on a team like the Hilltoppers. I always bet against Bama in these spots. What's your take? What's the database say?
Well, I think you're right on with that, Gabe. The database says Bama in non-conference games favored 24 or more, 0-8 to the spread. They just play down to the level of opposition, and they catch – I think Western Kentucky comes here in a perfect spot. They get Bama off that big no-hitter over Southern Cal, and who they have up next? Mississippi, the team that handed Bama their only loss of the season last year. This is a great schedule spot for the Hilltoppers. I think they get out of Alabama with the money.
I agree. I'm glad to hear the same way. All right, Mark is playbook.com. There's also a new mobile sports app that's coming that Mark will tell you about. But he's also one of the covers experts, and he has a free pick over at covers.com right now. Arkansas and TCU. Hogs got by La Tech last week, 21-20. The Frogs, the good news for the Frogs, they put up 59. Bad news for the Frogs, they gave up 41 to South Dakota State. So yeah. It's a good news, bad news scenario. I like Arkansas, and I like what they do, but every year, Mark, it's the same thing. They underachieve early, they string together wins late, and we say, oh boy, this team could be a good team next year. I want to see them get it done early, but I got to tell you, man, TCU's defense, remember years ago, Patterson's team was known for D. Now they're a run-and-gun team like Baylor, and their defense is terrible. I could see Arkansas running the ball down their throats and keeping this close, Mark.
I think that's exactly the game plan for Brett Bielema in this football game here. I think he hit it right on the head, Gabe. You're talking about also a Southeast Conference team in Arkansas. The SEC was red-faced last week. They went 7-7. They lost half of their football games. Arkansas is the only SEC non-conference dog on the schedule this week. I'm sure they're going to play with everything they've got to make that image look a lot better. Also, look at the fact TCU, the last 10 times they played the SEC, they've only cashed 2 tickets. I think Arkansas wins this game straight up.
Yeah, and we got some nice numbers with the dogs, with the Hogs as dogs, so to speak. 5-1 as non-conference road dogs of 14 or less. Bellamy, as you stated, was he 15-7-1 as a dog on the road? We can go on and on. They're 5-0 against the spread their last 5 road games. Arkansas has always been in this coaching regiment. They've kind of been better on the road, haven't they, Mark, than at home. They're almost like the Dallas Cowboys. You don't want to be laying points at home at Arkansas, but you want to be taking points with them on the road.
There's some teams that just fit like a glove when they're in that role, and that's Arkansas, as you say. Very, very good team away from home, getting points, kind of choke it up a little bit when they're home laying points. And this is their role, Arkansas, and I think this is their spot this week.
All right, we got 1 minute, Mark. Last year, I should have listened to you because, you know, the database, there are a lot of numbers pointing at that defense with the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl. And I had an epic run last year in the NFL, but it ended with tears in the eyes, Mark, you know, or I shouldn't say tears. It ended with me storming off the podium like Cam Newton. You know, I missed my plane after the game. It was a freaking nightmare, man, in Vegas. But here we are right now. And I was on Carolina last time. I sort of told myself, well, summer, well, I'll get it back. I'll get it back in the opener. Now the game is here and I see Denver as the player, nothing. We're getting the defending Super Bowl champions on their home field as three-point underdogs. We have the best defense in football. Trevor Siemian might be better than Peyton Manning at this juncture of their career. And I remember in the old days, Mark, when used to play against the Super Bowl champion in week one. But since the year 2000, they're 14-2 straight up. They're like 10-3-1 or whatever against this spread. Super Bowl champs win when they raise the banner. They don't lose anymore.
They sure do. 19-3 straight up in home opener, Super Bowl champions. On the flip side, Super Bowl losers, as the Panthers come in here, just 2-7 straight up, 1-8 to the spread when favored in their first game of the season here. You also throw in the mix Denver at home and Mile High. How about 24-3 in home opening games since 1999? I think this is a slap in the face for Denver to be the home underdog in this particular football game. I think they'll come up with a big effort here and take Carolina down for the second straight time in a row.
There it is, playbook.com. Mark Lawrence, check out the website. You get information about playbook.com/games. As well, a cool new innovative app that's coming out. Mark, we got to get out of here. We're getting the hook. It's always a pleasure.
My pleasure, Gabe. Be good. Enjoy the games. Thank you.
Mark Lawrence, excellent A-grade insight, as always. Take a quick break. Michael Leone joins us next. We're talking some DFS football. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live, and the countdown to kickoff is live as well. Thanks to Mark Lawrence for joining us on the program. Let's switch gears and talk some DFS football. But we'll also break down this Buffalo Bill-Baltimore Raven contest with a man of my own heart and one of the top fantasy players in the world, daily roto expert. Michael Leone steps up and in and joins us via Skype. Mike, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
I'm doing well, you know, getting ready for week one, excited. We got a lot going on, a little bit stressed out, but overall, looking forward to some actual Buffalo Bills football.
Yeah, you always get the butterflies. Yeah, you know, I'm an old dude, man. I've been around a long time, but week one NFL, always a great time. You know, week one of college got here, but I've sort of been more focused on the NFL this year. So, you know, listen, before we jump in here, tell people what's going on with the Daily Roto crew. What can they expect when they log on? And tell us about this this new tool that you guys have put together for DFS players.
Yeah, we're really excited about our premium DFS package this year. If you go to dailyroto.com/premium, we have it all spelled out. But the new tool you're referencing are these customizable projections we have. So Drew Dinkmeyer and myself provide default projections, but you can download an Excel file and do a lot of cool things. You can change number of plays, market share as a target. So if you think, for example, for the Buffalo Bills that Sammy Watkins is going to get a third of the team's targets, you can change that and then his projection will update automatically. So it's a really cool way to just kind of test out scenarios and come up with your own set of projections.
Very, very interesting. And I look forward to your take on Sammy Watkins this week. So let's jump in right here. The Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens. And don't worry, guys, we're not just going to break this down from a Bill standpoint, but we're looking at this from a DFS standpoint as a whole. But it's an interesting game in the sense that I sort of know what to expect from the Bills. And my expectation is that the Bills offense is going to be good. And the Tyrod Taylor is really going to surprise people that are non-believers in him if they haven't seen what he's done in the preseason. Mike, last year, LeSean McCoy, Tyrod Taylor, and Sammy Watkins only played in 10 games together. When they did, they averaged 26.4 points per football game, which would have been was fourth in the National Football League. I think they're going to score points, and I think the Bills' defense, even with all the turmoil and the injuries in the offseason, I still think the Bills' defense will be somewhat better. It can't be much worse. It's Baltimore that I don't know what to expect. They were a terrible team last year, and truth be told, when I look at Baltimore, I just don't see a lot of talent, Mike.
There were so many injuries for them last year that it's really difficult to gauge for them this year. I'm expecting them to throw quite often with Joe Flacco and Mark Trestman over there. And the week one matchup against Buffalo, it's interesting from a DFS perspective because Buffalo last year, I mean, you've got Ron Darby, you've got Stephon Gilmore, you've got two really, really good cornerbacks, but they gave up a lot of fantasy points to receivers because they couldn't pressure the quarterback. And just the way teams chose to attack Buffalo was through the air. So it will be interesting to see if it's more of the same this year. I think if Rex Ryan can get that defense together and you can create more pressure, we could see a big drop off in fantasy points allowed to wide receivers from what it was last year. So you might not want to target them with opposing wide receivers as much as you would early, especially you look at Baltimore. You've got Steve Smith coming back from injury. Young guy likes Breshad Perriman, but he's going to be buried early on because he's had his own health issues. Those targets are going to be so spread out that I'm not real high on anyone in the Baltimore passing game individually.
You know what? I like Baltimore secondary. I think Gilmore and Darby are both top 10 DBs in the National Football League, or at least let's say top 15. I think Pro Football Focus graded Darby as a top five guy last year in his rookie season. But as you stated, if you have the 30th best pass rush, worst pass rush in the NFL, and you want your guys playing man-to-man coverage, eventually they can't contain everything for 8 seconds and 10 seconds. Like, it's ridiculous to ask them to expect it to do so. If they can get a pass rush, I think it could be a problem. All right, so we'll get your prediction who wins the game in a second, but let's get to Tyrod Taylor, 11th most expensive quarterback on the DraftKings board at $6,900. I love Tyrod. I'm definitely going to be playing him on my DraftKings teams this year, but I see other guys I like better this week than Tyrod Taylor.
I'm with you, and the issue is I think this game could be a little bit slow-paced if it goes the way it's supposed to. I mean, you know Buffalo, they're ground and pound. They're going to keep it on the ground. It limits Taylor's upside a little bit. And on the Baltimore side of things, they're three-point favorites. There's a big discrepancy over the last 2 years in Joe Flacco's pass attempts when they're winning games versus when they're not winning games. So if it goes the way it's supposed to, you're going to see a slow-paced game without a lot of plays. And so it's kind of hard from a DFS perspective to find a ton of value here. And as you mentioned, there's other guys you're looking at quarterbacks this week. And week one, like Dak Prescott for the Dallas Cowboys, he's minimum priced on FanDuel, on DraftKings. He's kind of the guy that I'm really looking to build my cash game lineups around.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. And Dak with five, I'm intrigued by your opinion on that. And, you know, if Tyrod's 69, you can get a Derek Carr, although I know everyone loves Derek Carr this week. Get a Derek Carr for 7,200. They could throw for four touchdown passes against the Saints. But if there's a guy, and you mentioned it, especially week one, and we talk about an X factor, and you know me snapping when it comes to the Buffalo Bills play calling, you know, like I've never like disliked a man like Nate Hackett as I have, like, besides, like, I can't even think of it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like there's dudes that have like slept with girlfriends of mine that I dislike less than I did Nate Hackett. All right. Like, literally. I'm like, yeah, that guy's a jerk, but whatever. Oh, Nate Hackett. Oh, my God. I want to strangle this guy. So Greg Roman, he might be a genius. I don't know. If he was a genius, he'd get the ball to Watkins more. But without being stated, I'm intrigued to see what he does. And I don't know about you, Mike, but I love what I've seen from LeSean McCoy in the preseason. People act like LeSean's like 33 years old and he's done. He's only 28. He looks to have that burst. He had that nice speed. I expect big things from LeSean. I hope he can stay healthy, but I think he could have a big game. If I'm playing one guy in a DFS DraftKings, you know, I'm taking a look at LeSean McCoy here. What do you think?
You mentioned how he looked in the preseason. There was one play in particular. He caught a curl route on a standstill and then was able to just turn and separate immediately and get so many yards after the catch. But for me, I'm going Watkins. I know we don't throw a ton, but I think if anything, like last year was a baseline for passing attempts, if anything, it's going to go up. And Watkins was second in fantasy points per target of all receivers. So if you can up him in terms of the amount of volume, the ceiling's huge. And week one, people are going to be going studs and duds at wide receiver a lot because you get some mispriced guys week one. It just always happens. So if you can get these high upside guys in Sammy Watkins' price range, I think they're going to be under-owned. And Baltimore funnels targets to the wide receiver position. I think you can get Watkins in some one-on-one matchups. He's going to get the opportunities. He always sees long ball attempts, one of the highest average depth of target of any receiver in the NFL. So he's a perfect tournament play for me week one.
It's funny because he wasn't a deep ball guy at Clemson. He was more of a slasher and a cutter. And it used to drive me crazy, but he's finally developed into this, and it is what it is now. All right. A guy that you like, a more higher price wide receiver that you do like, and I'm pretty high on as well, and I like Tampa Bay as a team this year. I think Jameis Winston is like the new Cam Newton a year or two. Like people like 3 years from now, whatever, Jameis is going to be in a Super Bowl. He's going to have all these endorsements, and people are not even going to know about what happened years ago. I think he's going to be that good. And you got Mike Evans, played with Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M, went up, stole the ball, big rip guy. Somewhat of an underachiever in the NFL, I think. He's been hyped by the fantasy guys a lot, but he hasn't really fully delivered. Yet it looks like this year could be that year, and you think that this Sunday could be that Sunday against an Atlanta Falcon defense.
I love Mike Evans this year, and along with the Sammy Watkins pick, he's another one of those mid-high-priced receivers where if he matches the Antonio Browns, Odell Beckhams of the world, which can happen on a given week, then all of a sudden you're playing at a big advantage. You look at Evans last season from weeks 3 to 17, he was hurt the first couple weeks. Over that span, he was fourth in market share targets in the NFL. So he's getting a ton of volume. His total fantasy numbers didn't look great because his touchdown rate was so low. I really think that was an outlier. He caught 12 TDs his rookie season. He's 6'5", a big guy. I mean, your prototypical red zone target wide receiver if you were to build one. So I think simply just getting a little bit more luck in the touchdown department is going to help a lot. And then Tampa Bay, another team that could throw more this year. You've got Dirk Cutter as the new head coach. He was the offensive coordinator there. Before that, he was in Atlanta, and they threw a lot more in Atlanta than they did in Tampa Bay under Lovie Smith. So more team volume, lots of market share targets, and an increase in touchdowns. I really, really like Mike Evans.
We got less than a minute, unfortunately, already. But for more expert analysis, check out Daily Roto. And, of course, Roto Experts. Marvin Jones, $4,600. He's cheaper. Marvin Jones, wide receiver, playing against the Colts. And I love him this year. He's cheaper than Cardale Jones is, who's a third stringer. At least he's playing Marvin Jones at 46. But Dak Prescott, $5,000. He's your guy, right? We'll let you take it out. We got about 30 seconds with Dak here.
He's my guy. He's looked so good in the preseason, rave reviews, and it's a perfect situation for a rookie quarterback. You got a true number one wide receiver in Dez Bryant, a great offensive line, and an elite running back in Ezekiel Elliott. So I think it just shapes up very well, and because he runs and runs by the goal line, it's going to be hard for him to not hit value at minimum price tags.
Michael Leone, and finally, are the Bills 1-0 or 0-1? I say the Bills win.
I'm kind of pessimistic on the season, but give me 1-0 to start out of the gate.
Yeah, I'm pessimistic on the season as well. I am every year, but then every Sunday I'm like, oh, they can win. They can do it. All right, thanks, Mike. Thanks for the time, man.
Thanks so much for having me.
There's Michael Leone with us. Take a quick break. Ranger Redhead Cam Stewart joins me next. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network. We are live. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, joins us. It's week one. And Cam, just you're already pretty much a panicky, sort of like stressed guy to begin with. You throw in gambling, your daily horse betting.
Yes.
And now you got a plane to catch in a couple hours. I can tell you've got that extra, like your heart just must be like, ta-doom, ta-doom, ta-doom. Like it must be going hard now.
No, you're right. Like a normal guy, like on a treadmill, about $135 with your heart? I'm like that all the time. Like I need meds. But I'll tell you something. Camera two, Marenzi, I know you're talking off air. This guy's a real clown. I really appreciate you, Drew. Like when
set
it up, Marenzi. Right, yeah, I like his wife's sandwiches, but other than that, I got problems
all right,
with this guy.
And it's funny because I told him this.
Yeah.
The intro of the show, Cam overheard the intro of the show. I gave my Super Bowl prediction. Yep. I said the Seattle Seahawks will beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in Super Bowl 51, and it'll be revenge for the Super Bowl 40 screw job from 11 years ago. Immediately after the segment, we went to commercial break. Drew says they didn't get screwed. Wasn't that big of a screw job. And it was like, did you listen to like the intro in which I said the damn referee, Bill Levy, that did the game, said I'm going to die going to my grave knowing that I impacted the Super Bowl and I feel awful? He admitted it. He admitted that he screwed them. Like, it wasn't fixed. He just said, I reffed awful. I got it wrong twice. And basically, I cost Seattle the Super Bowl. And Drew's like, they didn't get screwed. I said, tell that to Cam, because Cam's a jolly guy. But it's the one thing. I thought you were going to punch Tony Ambrosio once. And Tony's a real nice guy.
Oh, he is a nice guy. You know, Tony, hey, how about those Seahawks? You know, I don't need that. Hey, Tony, worry about the Sarnia Sting versus the Peets, because I got to tell you something. I was still fuming after that. And Marenzi, Bill Levy not only apologized, said it was the worst refereeing job of his life. They did a poll on worst sports screw jobs of all time. I think it was number two on the list behind the hand of God. Daryl Jackson's offensive pass interference call. That's a joke. 60-yard bomb to the one-yard line. Mysterious
that's
flag.
That's the one that gets Jeremy Stevens caught a pass on the one.
Mystery flag.
And it went all the way, it was like from the 50-yard line. Yeah. It went all the way back. And then lo and behold, Hasselbeck threw a pick six on like the next play. So it was like a 14-point swing.
Actually, there was tons of 14-point swings in that game. Big Ben was down.
It literally went from oh my God, first down. And it was like, it's going to be 14-3 for Seattle. No, mysterious, five seconds after. Then it goes back, and then, seriously, the next freaking play, Hasselbeck, pick six.
I'll never forget that
touchdown
night.
Steelers.
Never forget that night. My buddy Vince drove me home. His car barely started. It was one of the coldest days. We're walking through the snow to get to my place, and I literally, icicles, tears rolling in my eyes. I go, I just lost every. I was betting like a madman. They were my team, right? And we were getting drunk, so I threw everything on Seattle. I'm like, they didn't even cover the teaser. Plus 11 and a half. I start doing the math. I was literally, ready to just say, you know what? Find me somewhere, bury me under the snow, and hopefully I don't wake up, because that was a cold day, and it took me months and months and months to get my life back. Screw you, Bill Levy. I don't accept your apology.
And then screw you. Don't forget about Drew.
Drew. Screw you, camera too. But Drew, I really like the sandwiches. Keep them coming. Thanks.
All right. So you know it's going to be a little bit warmer instead of buried in the snow in Las Vegas, Nevada. I went to Vegas this week.
And you survived, Marenzi.
Stayed
you
at the
good.
D. Yep. Stayed at the D.
Did I not tell you?
On 20, Fremont.
29 a night?
But you told me a little bit more pricey because Labor Day weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But you told me, Cam, that you stayed, I think, at the Four Queens or the Golden Gate.
Yeah, I've stayed on them all.
Yeah,
all
and
of them.
Basically, you know, you think you're hardcore. I must be getting old. You don't realize those bands on Fremont are playing. Your hotel is shaking.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah.
Like, there ain't no peace in mind or anything, but I'm doing a show. I'm staying at the D. I walk in. Guess who's doing a show on Friday night?
Your boy.
Scotty Farrell.
Wow, we did Iron Maiden lip syncing on his show one night. Remember, Under the Hills.
Scotty Farrell. We got some shots up here from Friday night at the D Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada with Scotty Farrell.
Great value at the D. Hey, like old times, Marenzi. Remember when Scotty came down for the Kentucky Derby when we worked at the Score? Those were good nights. Marenzi, we put him to bed.
What do you think I'm drinking there? I'm drinking one of those Fremont.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a Fremont. That's a super drink right there.
It's a vodka slushy.
Vodka slushy.
Vodka Fremont Street special.
That's amazing.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
See, you're down with Fremont Street. It's close to everything. On the Strip, everything's spread out. On Fremont, you get around town quick.
All right, outside the Heart Attack Grill.
Oh, alcohol's good for you.
Alcohol is good for you. Now, Cam, you've taken off a couple of pounds, but I've never actually eaten at the Heart Attack Grill. But check it out here. Anybody that weighs over 350 pounds eats for free. Somebody actually died there recently. They had a heart attack at the Heart Attack Grill.
Yeah.
As you see, caution, this establishment is bad for your health. They put butter in the milkshakes. They have the highest calorie burgers in the world. It is the most unhealthy fast food restaurant in the world. The waitresses are nurses. They don't let you take pictures inside.
No.
That's why I'm outside. There's no cameras allowed inside. It's just big-breasted nurses feeding fat guys burgers, man.
The best is, though, when the fat guy comes out of the restaurant afterwards for the family photo on the scale.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, I'm 602 pounds.
That's
wicked.
The thing.
We did it.
And to prove you're 350, it's real degrading. They have a big cow-like scale outside the place.
Yeah, they put livestock on it.
Yeah, you've got to prove it. So you've got to get on the scale in front of everyone at Fremont, and they ring the bell.
I was 287.
Hey, look, this guy's 350. Well, he's getting a free meal.
287.
Buddy, the doors are real wide, too, for obvious purposes. You can't have skinny doors, right? No. Like, the doors are huge.
Like, those waitresses there, the girls in the skirts, are, they're fantastic.
They're speaking of huge. Fusillo Honda, yeah. Huge in Buffalo. Come on down to Fusillo. Shout out to our boys. They watch the show. Two big fans.
I love Fusillo.
Shout out to Fred Courier.
Great guy.
If you're buying a car in Buffalo, go see the boys at
our
Fusillo.
Boy Fred.
Yeah, go see the Fusillos. All right. Let's talk some NFL, Cam.
I'm loving it. Yes, Moretti.
You're going to be in Vegas for this football game. You're going for one game and coming back.
Yeah, business trip.
That's right, business trip. Denver Broncos, Carolina Panthers. I got to tell you, I lost a ton last time on the Panthers.
They let you down.
I like the Broncos this time. How the hell do you pass the Broncos getting 3 points on their home field?
If Carolina wins, you're just going to lose your mind. I locked in a Carolina to pick. I would love to see the line up to 3.5-4 and try to middle the game. You're right, Morency. I think there's an overreaction to Peyton Manning and Denver. Their defense is going to be good. They're going to frustrate Cam Newton. I think under, keep digging, is actually the best play in this game.
Under 41.5.
Yes.
I don't have a problem with that.
I'll tease it. You can tease it. You can tease it, or I like the under.
You're wearing a DraftKings golf shirt.
Yeah, I know. What's going on here?
Dak Prescott's only $5,000.
That's value.
As low as
value.
It gets on DraftKings. What's your take on the Giants and the Cowboys? Ezekiel Elliott makes his NFL debut. One of these games where it wouldn't surprise me if Elliott ran for 148 yards and the Cowboys won, and it wouldn't surprise me if Eli Manning threw for 340 yards and the Giants won. But I'm leaning more Giants than I am Cowboys.
I'm leaning Giants, too. I still think Dak Prescott's going to have a good game. I think Elliott's going to run. Maybe first team to 35, Morency. I see a real barn burner in this game, a 30-34, 31 type of game. I think both offenses are going to put up huge numbers. I have a lean to the Giants. People are overestimating the rookies. I think they're going to do okay, but the Giants, I worry about their defense. I still think Prescott and those guys can put up some points. It's going to be –
I like the over. The over.
Yeah. We're reading each other's mail. It's
too
I think
low,
the over.
46.
Yeah. That is too low.
Dallas and New York, they play each other twice a year. This game,
get in
this game
60s.
In Dallas, the total is usually 52. I know. I bet it all the time. It's never less than like 50, 49.5. You're getting 46. There's a perception to rule their offense. Listen, the Cowboys' offense is going to be better run by Dak Prescott than it was with Brandon Weeden, or whether it was with Matt Castle, or whether it was with Kellen Moore. Their offense is going to be just fine. Giants spent a lot of money on the offseason on the defense, but I don't know if it's going to work.
It won't gel that quickly.
I like the over 46 there. I think that's the best bet in that game as opposed to risking the side because it's a toss-up of a game.
I don't know. Like, I'm telling you, I'm looking at the board going, how are the Chargers getting 7.5 against Kansas City?
Like it.
It's a divisional game. San Diego and Phillip Rivers, unless their offensive linemen all get hurt like they did the other game, I'm telling you, the Bolts and Phillip Rivers with Keenan Allen back, with the
Travis Benjamin.
Oh, I'm telling you, I think the Chargers could win this game outright. I think the points are, I'm laying it down. It might be my biggest play of the week.
I like the Chargers a lot. Getting points. I took them last year in the last week of the season, getting 7 in the exact same spot. They're always getting 7 at KC. Jamal Charles most likely going to be out. KC's, you know, their offense isn't designed to blow people out. You look at San Diego's offense, they short up that offensive line. You bring in Travis Benjamin, gives them a deep ball threat. Keenan Allen, one of the best possession wide receivers in the National Football League. Antonio Gates is healthy. Phillip Rivers, a lot to like about the offense.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can hang around within the 7 as well. Your Seattle Seahawks.
I'll tell you something, as a Seattle
fan, and a half.
As a Seattle fan, it's actually a more dangerous game than people are giving it credit for. I'm telling you, Miami's going to come in there, and they're going to pose some problems in this game.
It's going to be defense, Miami.
It's going to be a low-scoring affair. If you like this game, probably take the under. Keep digging, because Seattle isn't going to score a lot against that Miami D. It's going to take them a while to get it going. I'm telling you, I think the Seahawks win this game by 7 or 8 points. 11, 10.5, 11 seems too many. I know it's going to be people's survivor pick. You're going to be nervous in this one, probably going into the fourth quarter, Morency. I see a tight, tight game where the Dolphins actually show up and make it interesting in Seattle.
You know the two big survivor picks this week.
Seattle
is number one.
Yep.
And I hear a lot of people, the Green Bay Packers in Jacksonville. And that's a slippery slope to be taking in that game. But with Seattle ain't 10.5.
Too many.
I want to take Miami. I just don't trust Tannehill enough in this spot. I'm high on the Dolphins this year. I think that Gase is going to do a good job. I like their up-tempo offense that they're running. I don't like the fact that Devontae Parker's been banged up in the preseason. Stills is injured. Tannehill, first game, new offense. Seattle, 12th man.
Dangerous.
Kind of a bad spot. But it's one of these deals, Cam. It wouldn't show, like you said, I agree with you, low scoring. I think it goes under the number two because I keep on thinking with this score. Either Seattle win like 20-10 and Miami just covered, or Seattle barely cover and win 24-10, 27-13. Type of
the
game.
Under is, I think if you're looking at this game, the under is the best bet.
Packers and Jags, man. I don't want to lay 4.5 points with the Packers on the road.
Neither do I. And I'll tell you another thing is, I'm telling you, we've been waiting for Jacksonville to explode. It's explode time. That's the thing. And the thing about the Packers, what have we realized? Sure, Jordy Nelson's coming back. The Packers can score. Their defense at times can be atrocious. Blake Bortles, I'll tell you, he's not afraid of anybody, Gabe. And I think the Jacksonville Jaguars could actually hang around in the game. Does it look too easy? Nothing's too easy in the NFL. I think this is going to be a dogfight, three-point game. I lean to the Jaguars.
And finally, we've only got 1 minute, but Cam will join us for a quick segment on Morency Unfiltered. A game that's flying under the radar that people are overreacting to, the New England Patriots and the Arizona Cardinals. The Patriots are getting 6 points
that's
now.
That's nuts.
Man. You're giving Bill Belichick 6 points, and you're giving them 6 months to prepare for a game. It's ridiculous. Arizona's a good football team,
very
but they're being way overrated here. They should be favored by 3 or 4. They were favored by 1.5 when Brady was supposed to be playing. It went up to like 3 and 4, up to 6 now. That's ridiculous. Garoppolo wouldn't be the quarterback and wouldn't, you know, Belichick doesn't suffer fools kindly. I like the Patriots plus the 6. I think the Patriots can win this game outright.
Yeah, the line's a real weird one to me. It's way too high. For me, it's either New England or nothing. Do you like any? I'm looking at, you know me, Morency.
I like the dogs this week.
I'm a pooch man. I'm the pooch patrol. Yeah, I like who let the dogs out? I might just, I think if you blindly bet dogs, you're going to win some money.
I like the Raiders to beat the Saints. They're at 1 point.
That's a tough game. Drew Brees. I don't think the Saints are good, but the first game at home, I don't know.
Drew Brees ain't getting any younger. Raiders beat him. We're going to come back with our plays of the day. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. We gave you 5 baseball picks last night. We went 3-2. It should have been 4-1, but the Angels choked late in that baseball game. We got 3 picks tonight, probably the last time we're going to be giving baseball picks for a long time. Actually, we'll have some midweek baseball picks. We only have 3 for you, but don't be like spoiled kids the night before Christmas. We got a ton of presents under the tree for you in the morning. But, Dad, I want my gift now. All right, shut up, you little punk. I'm going to give you the Kansas City Royals. -140. I'm going to give you the Giants and the Rockies under 12, and I'm going to give you the Dodgers -150. Now go to your room, turn off your lights, and when you wake up in the morning, Santa Claus is going to be dressed up in a big, you know, NFL size uniform. Kickoff is here. Football is here. Hell, we even have some college football on the board tomorrow. And in fact, I've got to go into the dark room right now, into the bunker, and start studying up. So I got a bunch of props and winners for you guys tomorrow. Other than that, you're on your own. Happy football. May the winners be yours.